Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Sarah, good to Vach. This is our last shiur before Rosh Hashanah, Bezus Hashem. So up till now, we've been talking more about the general figuring ourselves out in terms of Elul. Let's now move ourselves into the world of Rosh Hashanah. I'll start from a perspective of a question that was raised at the end last week, at the end. And from there, we'll try to back up and go into the broader discussion. The issue of tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. So again, we'll start from a little bit of a technical place, and then we'll back up. So there's a general understanding that a person is not supposed to be engaged in personal bakashas on Rosh Hashanah. The source of that is a Zohar, which says that people come and they're all busy asking on Rosh Hashanah for Chayim, Zayne, Slicha, Mechila. They're asking for all kinds of different things. Like dogs who are just busy saying, you know, barking and saying, give me more, give me more, give me more. So this kind of, many of us feel like Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. The whole year is being laid down now. I would like to ask for things. I don't want to be called a dog who just yells, hav, hav. So how do we put this together? So let's say two different things, one a bit more technical and then one a bit more bad. So, and then we'll see. We'll back up to try to connect to what's going on in the bigger picture. And we'll all come together more clearly. So first of all, it's not exactly true that you can't be asking for personal bakashas. There are two caveats. If you look in the Zohar, what the Zohar actually says is, he says, people don't engage in tshuva. They're not interested in drawing closer to Hashem. They're not interested in doing tshuva. All they want is all of their affairs to be worked out. Kind of like they're coming and asking Hashem for slichu mechila without even being busy with tshuva. Right? They like to just be forgiven, and they like to have life and panasa and health and everything else, but they're not, there is no attitude of, what am I supposed to be doing on my end? So this already gives us a certain perspective, right? That the point is not, don't ask for personal bakashas. The point is, don't just approach like a spoiled kid who's not interested in connecting to what's going on and just has their wish list, and that's what the whole focus begins and ends with, the wish list. That's number one. But now let's take a step back and address it from a bit of the broader perspective. And that is that we'll qualify this understanding. I'm supposed to be asking for bakashas. We're going to rephrase it a bit. That's not the focus of the day. If we're in the right place, the bakashas will fit in. But let's be in the right place. And that's really where we want to go. I'll just add in parentheses that just to ease your mind, even if you make no bakashas at all, if you spend a little bit of time before Rosh Hashanah, look at the Avinu Malkeinus, look at the Tashlich, the tefillah of Tashlich, and look at the Ribbono Shel Olam that you say before Kriyas HaTorah, if you're going to be in Shul, then I think you have everything covered there. Pretty much everything is covered there. Just since it's not the focus of Shemoneh Esrei, etc., people don't notice that. It kind of passes you by. But we may say that in a big way, if you realize it beforehand, then you can rest assured everything is being addressed. Look at those three. It'll take you about, well, to go through Avinu Malkeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam will take you about 5 minutes, and then if you want to go through the tefillah from Tashlich, it's a bit lengthier, but it's an unbelievably comprehensive tefillah, which, like we said, covers everything, I think. But now let's really get to the heart of what we want to be talking about. I'm going to approach from a completely different direction. I have Rosh Hashanah and we have Yom Kippur. Which of the 2 days is the scarier day? So if we just look at what the day looks like, Superficially, it looks like Yom Kippur is the scarier day. Standing shul all day long, banging al chet, really brings home a lot of, you know, somber thoughts. Fasting, without the shoes, etc. But the truth is that really it's the other way around. Yom Kippur is a day that's kulei rachamim. On the contrary, the reason that we so apply ourselves in such an intense way is because we want to squeeze everything we possibly can out of that unbelievably high-powered day of rachamim. Rosh Hashanah is a yom adin. That's when the midas adin is in effect. We have all kinds of things that we're doing to contend with the midas adin that's in effect. Shofar has a lot to do with that. And Rosh Hashanah is when life and death is being decided. Yom Kippur has a chance to reverse it. To my knowledge, I shouldn't give guesses, but Rosh Hashanah is the day that life and death are being inscribed. Yom Kippur, Hashem is telling you, I'm giving you a chance now, that so it's true with Yom Kippur, to turn things around. And yet, on Rosh Hashanah, right, the place can already note this conflict. We wear Shabbos clothing, Yom Tov clothing, instead of wearing the orange suit that a person who is being brought to trial comes in, right? The prison, those orange pajamas. And we sit down for a whole festive Suda. What's that about? So I asked my grandfather. My grandfather was an illustrious Rav. He was the Rav of Be'er Yaakov. I was there with the Yom Neroim as a Bacher when I was at a very intense stage. And I asked my grandfather, you know, Rosh Hashanah is a very scary day. So he didn't exactly answer the question. He just said the following. He said, well, you say a pasuk every day in davening, in Hoidu. You say, Yismichu Hashemayim, Yisogei La'oretz, Yeram Ha'yomun Lo'yoy, Ya'aloi Sodar V'chol HaShavoy, Ozuvanu Ratzei, Yo'ah. Five expressions that are basically describing like a chasim, right? Think about each of those expressions. Yismichu Hashemayim, the skies are rejoicing. The earth is all excited. The seas are clapping, if we'll put it that way. All the fields are dancing excitedly. And the fields and the trees, everyone's all excited. Why? Because Hashem is coming for what? To be shofet, to judge. It's pushing the yom hadin, and therefore, celebration. Wait a minute. It also says, Hamalochim echofezun, mechilu ode echezun. Malochim are petrified. They're trembling. What's going on? We'll take it another step. It's actually a pasuk in Nehemiah that Mamish brings together this, like, these two sides of the coin. After Golus Bavel, when Ezra and Nehemiah came back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, so the people that remained behind in Eretz Yisrael were the lowest of the people. The Bavlim, they carried off all of the basically all of Klal Yisrael, they specifically and deliberately left the lowest, most ignorant, coarsest layer of the people back in Eretz Yisrael. When Ezra and Nehemiah came back at the end of Golus Bavel, they found Mamish, they found the people there in a dismal matzav. People had drifted it completely. They were married to Gentile women, pagan women, and it was just a big mess. And they embarked on a very intense tshuva campaign, kiruv. Ezra and Nehemiah, and they admonished the people and brought them to understand that they had sunk very low. And then Rosh Hashanah hit. It says that the people who really appreciated, you know, the admonitions they'd been hearing, that they were all weeping. They were all weeping. And then all of a sudden, Ezra and Nehemiah, they changed their tune. And they said the following pasuk. This is a pasuk that appears. So that all the people were crying on Rosh Hashanah. They told him, well, I'll say it in Hebrew, we'll translate it. V'chu ichlu ma'ashmanim ushsu mamtakim v'shulchu mono yisla'ein nochayim loy ki kodesh hayoim ladoineinu ve'alte otzev ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uzchem. Let's translate that in English. Go eat delicacies, eat fatty foods, and drink sweet drinks. And if you know anybody else who doesn't have good Yom Tov Sukkah prepared, send them food. Because this is a very great day, a Kaddish day for Hashem. Don't be sad, because your excitement of Hashem is your ma'oiz. Ma'oiz means like your fortress of safety. What's being said here? We're mamash seeing this conflict addressed. The natural feeling is a feeling of, right, weeping. And they're being told, go celebrate, because celebrating with Hashem is your fortress of safety. Okay, so let's take a deep breath now and try to put this all together just by understanding what is actually the essence of the day. So Rosh Hashanah, we know because we've heard, and we know because it's simple enough to piece it together from the nature of the tefillahs. The focus of the day is Malchus Hashem. That's what we're davening for. That's what we're focused on. That is the focus of the day. Which, in essence, what's going on is that this is the day of the coronation of Hashem, Kiviyoch. That's what's happening now. Rosh Hashanah is the day when Hashem is being crowned as King, Kiviyoch. Say a minute. Who was the king on Erev Rosh Hashanah? Like, what does that mean that Hashem is being crowned as king? Who was the king yesterday? The answer is that there was no yesterday. It's a completely new beginning. The world is being created anew. Each year is a new creation. Last year ended. That means that last year's world ended. And now is a new reality beginning. And therefore, it follows that it's just natural. There's a new world being created. Hashem, Kiviyochol, takes his place on the throne as the king of that new world. Now, what's our place in this? So we are experiencing and attending that coronation. Well, let's appreciate our place in that coronation. A coronation, what does a coronation mean? To the king, it's a great day. What does it mean to the rest of the people? Depends. By the way, you know, with everything that's going on now in England, so I heard that some of the rabbanim said that you can actually follow what's going on, that you get a little bit of a havana, a little bit of a feeling. I wouldn't say havana, I'd say a feeling of what Malchus, the experience of Malchus. I don't think it means to be watching for hours a day. I think 5 minutes suffices, but you want to get your picture. Whatever the case is, a coronation is a very big deal. Now, if we're talking about a king who actually holds life and death, so coronation for the nation in general, it might hold a certain suspense. What's this king going to be about? Is he going to be harsher than his predecessor? Is he going to be more lenient? What are the taxes going to be like? What kind of laws are going to be in effect? Okay, right? Then you have the people who know they're in trouble. The chevra who picked on him when he was small in school, right? They know they're in trouble. It's a very scary day for them. The coronation is bad news. And then you have the people who are celebrating. Who's celebrating? The king is celebrating, obviously, but who else is celebrating? The people closest to him. The people closest to him are celebrating. His family is celebrating. His close friends are celebrating. And I don't know how it works. I think this is actually the minig again, if we're using the Gemara's, even though this is a very, very faint mashal, what Gemara says, to use, right, the examples that we have in Olam Hazeh of Malchus to try to appreciate the way it works. I don't know how it works in England, but I understand that by the U.S. presidential inauguration, to whatever extent you can call that Malchus, the way it works is that after the whole big grand national ceremony, is that afterwards, that evening, there's a ball like for the president's family and friends, that they all get together, and it's a very grand ball they celebrate. So what's going on here is that Hashem is Kiviyachol taking the throne, and he is actually inviting us to come participate in that coronation. He wants us there. Why does he want us there? He wants us there because we are the people closest to him. We are the ones who really, the whole purpose of his malchus is us. So he wants us there. And let's bear in mind that if, as we've discussed often, and probably in the last couple of weeks also, but we'll repeat it again, it bears repetition, we should repeat it at least every 2 weeks. This is really where we come from. Our place is right up close to Hashem, as his closest circle, Kiviyachol. Kiviyachol, if we use our terms, as his family. Where did each of us come from? Each of us originated from the Kisei HaKavod. That's where the neshama of each Jew comes from. It's the closest thing to Hashem that there is. Now, we were sent into this world for a short mission. Our existence is there with him. That's where we came from in the first place. And that existence is the ultimate bliss. We came here for a short mission, after which we go back there to really enjoy just basking in his presence, which is greater than any of the pleasures we can imagine. But we're here now. And when we're here, we've said a number of times that they say that Rav Moshe disapproved of putting a 120-year cap. He didn't approve of saying 120 years, right? All of us, Rezus Hashem, we should have much more than that. I won't say how much exactly. Rav Moshe probably maybe would have opposed also saying 200 years. But all of us should have many years. Whatever the case is, I think we can say that 200 years is a bracha, right? 200 years is a bracha, Rezus Hashem. We should all have at least that. But also that is a fleeting instant. When we're talking about that existence in the Olam HaSelyonim, we're talking from the perspective of a neshama, which is something immense and eternal. 200 years is a brief amount of time. But you know what? When we're plunged into Olam HaZeh, the neshamas, we're not conscious of the neshama. All we see things is from a very limited perspective of the body. We experience things from the very, very limited perspective of the body. Those 200 years seem like a long time. Even though I'm sure that most of you will agree that with every year that passes, it seems like, you know, just they fly by quicker and quicker. But it seems like a long time. And Hashem is saying, don't turn into a ben olam hazeh. Don't turn into, right? We're not shaykh to earth. It's not our place. We are shaykh. We have a question here. I believe Nether will address it a bit later. Okay. Remember where you really come from, and remember who you really are. Your place is with me by the Kisei HaKavod, and you're here for a mission. Now, Hashem is basically coming and saying, okay, you're here for a mission, but now, on my coronation day, I want you with me. I want you with me. I want you to be participating in that coronation and celebrating along with me, Kaviyachal. And basically, kind of what we're being told is, this is how Gassim Wachtfeigel put it. For 2 days, step out of that Olam HaZeh. Step out of the Olam HaZeh and reconnect to that whole world. Right? We have all the piyutim that are describing the grandeur of the Malachim with their Shira, etc., right? Adire Ayume Yadiru Bekoil Hashem Melech Hashem Moloch Hashem Melech, the myriads of Malachim who are just expressing Hashem Melech and the grandeur of it, something that we can't imagine. And Hashem is saying, I want you to be there also. I want you to be coming back to that world, to be in a world of Hashem Melech. And we do it in a number of forms. Each of our shuls is a satellite which is participating in what's going on there. It's in a little bit of a diluted manner. We are here, and we're celebrating from afar, but we're joining, we're connecting. And when we sit down at the Suda on Rosh Hashanah, this is what we're doing. We're sitting down to set the celebration of Hashem's coronation. In other words, what we're coming and saying is, Hashem becoming the Melech, this is my entire focus today. I'm moving into this reality. I'm going to be living that reality. And Hashem becoming the Melech is a simcha for me. For me, it's a cause for celebration. This is where we want to be putting ourselves in Rosh Hashanah. But let's take it a step further. Let's take this a step further. But, you know, let's just, like, take a deep breath at this point and have understood that point. And we want to go and now put this together with the understanding that it is a Yom HaDin. So we just described where the celebration comes from. We have to put that together also with the Yom HaDin and see how the two come together and how the dust settles, which is really, really going to be just defining the experience we're supposed to be having on Rosh Hashanah. So I'll start with a cryptic statement from the Ramban, and then we'll give it some beautiful perspective from Maharal. Ramban says as follows, and I can't explain this. This is Kabbalah, but this is what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that we have Tkiah and Truah, right? Tkiah and Truah. Tkiah is a straight, unbroken blast. He says that's Rachamim. Tkiah is Rachamim. Truah is the broken, like whale-like blast. So that's Din. Okay. When the Bnei Yisrael would go out to war, when they would gather, when there would be some meeting, some assembly, they would do a tekiah. It was just Klal Yisrael getting together. It's Rachamim. When they go out to war, they would blow a truah because they actually didn't want to invoke Midas Hadin against their enemies. So the Ramban says something puzzling, intriguing. He says, what Hashem is telling us, Yom Truah Yelochem. So you blow a truah. What are we doing by blowing a truah on Rosh Hashanah? We're being Ma'ir Midas Hadin. We are arousing Midas Hadin. Why would we want to be doing that? We don't know yet. But the Ramban says, Yom Truah Yelochem. You blow that truah, you bring on the Midas Hadin, and Yelochem, it'll be for your benefit. Lochem. We know from a few different drushes of Chazal that denotes it will be for your benefit. You bring about the din. In order to understand this, and to try to let's try to bring it back down to earth. Okay, I know sometimes we tend to float away. Let's try to bring this back down to earth. Bear with me for another couple of minutes, then I think we'll be solidly landed back with 2 feet on the ground. What is the deeper understanding of din? Din knows judgment. You just hear it like that. It's something like harsh, scary. So Maharal says that the deeper meaning of din is that Hashem draws close and focuses intensely. Kiviyachol, the further kiviyachol, the less focused on us Hashem is, kiviyachol, and there's more, call it Hester, call it Richuk, there's more room for things to be happening that are, chas v'shalom, outside of his ratzon. But there are things when Hashem really focuses, all that there is what he recognizes. Something Hashem doesn't recognize just doesn't exist when Hashem is actually zooming in and focusing. It just falls away. That is the kiviyachol, we'll call it the what's going on behind din. When Hashem just kind of leaves things to operate on a level of oilam kamin hagay noyeg, right? There's a certain natural course of events that Hashem allows to an extent to just kind of flow on inertia. And then all kinds of different things can happen. When Hashem decides to zoom in, everything falls into place automatically. And then whoever's not in place falls away. That's Midas Hadin. Now, so how is it that we still see Rishayim operating? It's a big discussion. We're not going to get into it now, but just a very basic mashal. Put it a couple of different ways. We'll put it in the more humorous way, is that you know how in the cartoons, what happens if someone runs off a cliff in real life? They fall straight away. But what happens if in a cartoon someone runs off a cliff? They don't fall straight away. They continue going for about 20 feet straight, right? And then their feet start moving very fast. They start pedaling in the air, and then they drop straight down. It's very neat, right? Straight like that. Stay there, and then they drop straight down. That's how it works in a cartoon, right? That's actually what's going on when you see a Rasha being Matzliach. He's off the cliff. Just what? There's a certain inertia. Looks that way in real life also. Like Chalila, if a car goes careening off a mountain, it doesn't fall straight down. Don't look at the car and say, wow, we got away with it. It's flying up. Yeah, there's that inertia. But the tragedy happened already. It's after the fact, right? It's not like, oh, now the car is flying up. Let's see what ends up happening. Rahman al-Itzlan, the tragedy happened already, even though the car is on its way up, right? Because it's dropping. There's no kiyum there. So yeah, you can see people who are operating outside of Ratzon Hashem, but they've already gotten themselves into that place that they're off the cliff. So din means that Hashem is zooming in on focusing on his world, and then there's only room for Ratzon Hashem. Others, anything else doesn't have a place there. Hashem backs up and focuses out kiviyachol, then there's a little more room for gray things to be happening. But not when he focuses in, not when he zooms in. So what Batsim being told is, and here's where the new creation of the world and Hashem being crowned as king and the din mamish all come together as mamish one entity. Hashem is creating a new world. He's focused on it. Right? This is a new world that he is now putting into effect. Obviously, he's focused. That means that din is part and parcel of that. And like we said before, if there's a new world, then obviously part and parcel of that is Hashem taking the throne, kiviyachol. It all comes together. But we're being told, and here's really where we're going now. Here's where we're going, and I think now we're going to be able to land again with both feet on the ground. What we're being told is, it's going to be a din, which means that Hashem is now going to zoom in and focus on his world. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be the person who's dragged into the din? Or are you going to be the person who's going to say, Hashem, perhaps throughout the year I lost focus of you, I forgot about you, I started making mistakes, but I am embracing and running toward a world where that is renewed, where you are the melech, and where I have to be in line with that. I want to move back into such a world. I'm inviting it. I'm embracing it. I'm not running away from Hashem zooming in and focusing. I'm running towards it. Not only that, I'm blowing it through and saying, I want that. I want Hashem to zoom in. I want Hashem to reclaim his world. Hashem reclaims his world, you might be in trouble. I'll get myself in order. But number one is, the first thing is, I want to be there. That's where I want to be. I want to be in such a world. Yes, maybe I've grown lax here and I've been failing there, but I don't want to continue on that track. I don't want to say, Hashem, I prefer that you keep a distance and enable me to continue rolling along. I want you to refocus. I want that world to move back to that pure, higher state, and I want to do whatever it takes. But that's number one. I want to be back in a world of Hashem Melech, and I'm inviting that. This is what we mean, Chayr. I can't claim to plumb the full depths of the Ramban. But when the Ramban is saying that we accept, not just accept, we invite the din. And this is the Eitzah that Hashem is giving us. There's going to be a Yom HaDin. Put yourself into the best position possible by running towards it, by inviting it. Hashem, I want you to draw close. I want you to reclaim your world. And I want to be a part of that world. It might mean that I'm going to have to start making changes. I want to make those changes. But it starts with moving back into a world of Hashem Melech. And for me, that's a cause for celebration. Those are the two points here. I want a world of Hashem Melech. I want to experience Hashem Melech. I'm kiviyachol accepting the invitation and accepting the call of duty. And for me, if I know that I'm moving back into a world where Hashem is the Melech, for me, that's a cause for celebration. It's reason for me to celebrate. It's reason for me to feast. That's the call of the day. That's the call of the hour. So I hope that a picture is starting to come together now. When a person just comes to Rosh Hashanah and says, oh, Hashem is making decisions now. Okay, Hashem, here's a bunch of things that I would like. 1 minute. You're not a part of what's going on. You're mamish coming, mamish like the spoiled kid, or even worse, like the Zohar describes it. Oh, they're giving things out? I want some, right? But if we're coming from a place of, I am Shaykh to Hashem's closest circle. I want to be a part of his coronation. I want to coronate him over my world, over my own personal world. I want to live in a world of Hashem Melech, where Hashem, like we said, perhaps throughout the year it became vague. It became, I lost that focus. But now I'm moving back into that world where Hashem permeates everything, where Hashem Melech is my reality. And I understand that that is going to require me to make adjustments. Therefore, I'm going to move into the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I'm going to start with, I have to fix this, I have to fix that. There's a list of al-chets, things that have to be put back in order. But now we understand that actually, you know, if you ask the question, on Rosh Hashanah, why aren't we busy with tshuva? The answer is that we're busy with the root of the tshuva. After that, we go and break it down into its details. But first, we're putting ourselves back into that right place. Once we're back in that world, we have to get ourselves in line with that world. But we want to, in Rosh Hashanah, like we said, we're moving back into the world of living in Hashem's palace, of being the closest people, his closest circle, kiviyachol, the family, and of sitting around the table. We spend the day in shul or at home, wherever it is, connecting to the grandeur of the coronation in Shemayim. We are part of that from wherever we are. And when we sit around the table to feast on Rosh Hashanah, yes, on the one hand, you could say, what do you mean? It's a very scary day. On the other hand, we say, no, but we know where we find our safety in that scary day. Where do we find it? By putting myself into that place where Hashem becoming the Melech is a cause for celebration. That's what I'm celebrating at my Suda. That's what I'm celebrating at my Suda. I am celebrating as the one who is most joyous at the fact that my Hashem is becoming the King. With everything that that entails, with a sober appreciation of what that's going to place on me. But I want that. I invite it, I embrace it, and I'm celebrating with it. And yeah, it means moving from Rosh Hashanah into that year of Tavshin Pei Gimel as a new year of a different reality, or I shouldn't say a different reality, because for us that is the reality all the time, but at that renewed reality of bringing it back to its highest, purest place of, in my world, everything that permeates my existence is Hashem Melech, and that dictates my life, that dictates everything I do, and yes, I'm going to get about that business of lining it all up through the Al-Khaitz V'chulim. And we'll tie this up with a very amazing piece from Rav Dessler. There's the famous Medrash that says that when we blow the shofar the first time, the Satan is startled. He's not sure what's going on. The Mashiach is coming. When we blow it the second time, the Satan, he's like, Mashiach is coming, and he's just frightened into silence, and he loses his ability to prosecute. That Medrash sounds puzzling. Like the Yetzer Hara goes through that mistake year after year. And certainly, you know, any of us who has some experience with the Yetzer Hara knows that the Yetzer Hara is pretty smart, knows the business, right? Knows what he's doing. He's not the type to just fall for that just like that. What's going on here? Abdesla says something amazing. He says, that moment of Tkiyah Shofar is the actual moment, right? You have the whole coronation, you have the whole coronation ceremony, the whole coronation process, and then there's the actual moment of the crowning. Right? He says, the moment of Tkiyah Shofar is the actual moment when they're heralding Kiryachal Hashem's appearance as the King. For each of us, wherever we are, that's in our own personal world, that's the moment of Hashem Kiryachal taking the throne. And by the way, that's also Bishol Salanter says that that's actually where the din is. It's in that moment of Tkiyah Shofar. That's when all the events of the year, whatever's going to be going on, is all captured in that moment. So if we can be standing at that moment and really experiencing that, really be experiencing now is that moment of Hashem Melech, my world. My own personal world, you stand with your eyes closed, with your eyes open also, whatever the case is, but you're standing in your own personal world, you're hearing that herald, right? You're hearing the tkiyah of the shofar, you're hearing the crowning of Hashem Kiviyachol, and now that's my reality, and I'm experiencing that. Hashem Kiviyachol taking the throne over my world. which, as we said before, is not just a beautiful concept, but it's with a very solid understanding of what that's going to demand for me. But that's where I am right now. I'm experiencing the awesomeness of that moment. So, what's happening? We're busy talking about that the whole world should just move back to that reality of recognizing Hashem as the Melech, of that great day that will come when Hashem Echad Ushma Echad. So Rav Bessler says like this, the Satan is very scared of that day, right? If I am in that world now, that means that it's actually beginning. Whatever amount of Jews there are in the world, but one of them is already accounted for. He's there already. I'm there already. And the Satan knows exactly what's going on. That's why he's so frightened. I'm losing this Yid. I'm losing him to the world of Hashem Melech. He's already in that reality of the process is beginning, which means that I'm being crowded off the scene. And if the Jew next to me is also in that place, then it's that much more frightening for the Sultan. If the whole shul is there, the men with the women and the children are in that reality, then there's a whole zone that the Sultan has lost that's already moving into that reality of v'chein tein pachtecha. That's the awesomeness of that moment, and it's really the awesomeness of where we are on Rosh Hashanah and the place that we're putting ourselves as we're moving into that in the world. When we land back in Olam Hazeh, we're coming from a different place into a different place. And if so, let's also appreciate. Right, and come back to the point of the tefillahs, of the personal tefillahs. As we said before, if you're in that place, if you're in that place of really beginning the tshuva process in this way, of putting myself back in that world of Hashem Melech, and if the main focus of the day is experiencing, right, that coronation, experiencing Hashem Melech, there's room for personal bakashas also. But don't let that take over the focus. And that's why, also in Shemana Esrei, we're putting ourselves in that higher place. The umbrella, the overarching tefillahs are, if we're really celebrating Hashem Melech, then the overarching tefillahs are, Hashem, we want to see this spread all around the world. And we want to see everybody recognizing this. Right now, we're feeling it palpably in this shul, in this home. And I want to state those two distinctions clearly. We want the shul is much more easily experienced when you're in a shul where it's just, you know, everybody is thundering together, tefillahs, right? But the home also, we said, right, the home is where you're sitting down around the table to actually celebrate the coronation. And our home now, that's the reality now. Our home is moving into a different zone where we hope to keep it after Rosh Hashanah, into that zone of Adire Ayume Yadir B'Kol Hashem Melech. Right? Our home also is moving into that reality. And therefore, my primary tefillahs on this day are in terms of that reality. Let it just permeate everything. Let's see your malchus encompass everything. And lemaisa mele, all of our bakoshes proteus will be covered by that. And that's where we want our focus mainly to be. When you're there, yeah, you also have the right, just as you're going to start thinking about, okay, what are some of the proteus I might need to start getting involved in, right? Maybe if I'm really living in that world, I should change the way I speak to this person and I should change the way I do that. Starting to think along those lines, you're mainly going to be focusing on that in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So you can also be thinking in terms of what else would I like in that world. But have it in its place, have it in its perspective. And that's what coming back to the Lashon of the Zohar, that he says, when people are not, they say in Is'arim B'Tshuva, if they're not connecting to this whole thing, they're not involved in the Tshuva process, they just want X, Y, Z, that's what we're talking about. But when you are a part of that whole thing, then yes, this has its place in it also. But be in that world. Be in that world. That's a Hashem. We should be zoiche to, let's understand that it's not just about do we want to be there or not. Hashem is inviting us. Hashem is giving us all the tips as to how to get there. He's there eating the process. He wants it. Let's be zoiche to connect to it in the way that he wants us to, and that will taka be our ticket to a very great Ksivah Chasim HaToyva. That's a Hashem. We had a question here in the chat about the parenthetic point that we made about the Moshe supposedly, again, I didn't hear this in an authoritative way. I heard it quoted that Reb Moshe didn't like putting a cap on 120 years. Question here is, doesn't it come from the Torah, from the Mabul? In a general way, that is, I understand that's where the concept comes from, but it's not actually what it says in the Torah. The Torah says that he's going to give a stay, Hashem's going to give a stay of 120 years before bringing the Mabul. If you're looking at the simple pshat in the pasuk, it means, I'm going to give mankind another 120 years before bringing the Mabul. From that, people took from there, from that point on, mankind's lifespan began 120 years, and I'm sure that there are good sources for that. But whatever the case is, we understand where Moshe is coming and saying, not necessarily, and don't put that cap on it. Okay, I would give bench to you.